Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did today's lesson from Mark sound a little bit familiar? It did. It should have, because we read something very similar last week. Jesus has once again told the disciples that he is going to suffer and die and be raised again after the third day. And once again, the disciples didn't get it. Now, nobody had ever been raised from the dead before. And as Jesus was telling them about this miraculous thing that was going to happen, they weren't paying attention. Instead, they were arguing amongst themselves who had priority, who was the best, who was number one. Now think about that. Think about how they reacted when Jesus asked, "What are you talking about?" They at least had enough sense to be embarrassed. I hope we would have the sense to be embarrassed if someone had just told us about the secrets of the universe, about the most important thing ever, and we were too busily quibbling amongst ourselves. So I'm going to presume that nobody here has ever engaged in a flame war online. But that's the kind of thing the disciples were prone to. One of them would do down the next, and the next would turn to his fellow and do him down. And what are they doing? Why are they arguing? Why are they getting lost in these arguments? So as I mentioned last week, the Gospel of Mark was written around 70 or 80 AD, and there was a lot going on back then. There was a lot of dissension in the community. The Romans in 70 had destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. You remember people talked during the Vietnam War about bombing the village back to the Stone Age. That's what the Romans did to Jerusalem. And they didn't need airplanes and bombs, but they were able to destroy the city. And the Jewish people were once again asking questions. What does this mean for us? Where is our God? And if you were part of that small group of Jews who were part of the Christian movement, you had even more questions to ask. Because Jesus, who you've been told was this great figure, had died on a cross. Now, nobody here has ever been exposed to that kind of horror. And if you have, I'd love to hear about this. But none of us has ever suffered that kind of pain and that kind of humiliation. So yes, we think about crucifixion as being an awful physical experience, but it was also a very public humiliation. And people would walk by, they'd gawk. As we read in the Gospels, and it's a credible account, there were people who taunted Jesus when he was on the cross. Now, if you were part of this Jesus movement, how do you make sense of this? How do you make sense of Jesus having been executed? And so the community tried to puzzle this out. And as I said before, there were no verbatim recordings of what Jesus said. Nobody was walking around with a camera filming everything. But stories were passed down. and then people made sense of them. And so the early church had figured out that Jesus must have been fulfilling a larger purpose. But what is that purpose? Can anybody here tell me? I can do the best I've been prepared to do. I went to seminary for 3 years. I did a field placement. I've been preaching for more than a decade now. And I hope that the message I am preaching is true to what God communicated through Jesus. Now, there are lots of people out there who will tell you that they have got a direct line to God. I will not make that claim. God has not given me his private telephone number. And though God has my telephone number, as does every business I've ever interacted with online, God has never called me, at least over the telephone. But earlier this week, I was at a clergy retreat with some of my colleagues from the New Hampshire Conference, and we were talking about our calls and our sense of ordination, what that meant to us. I really hadn't thought about that a lot over the last few years, but it was a very powerful experience. Now, I cannot tell you exactly what it felt like, but if you're one of those people who came down to my ordination in Concord, Massachusetts, you may have been one of the folks who came to the front of the sanctuary for laying on of hands. And there was a huge scrum of people around me. And I have to tell you, that was one of the most intense moments of my life. There was no lightning bolt. There was no frisson of electricity that ran through my body. But it was really intense. Now, I hope you feel something akin to that when you help people out. And sometimes I feel like I've returned to the classroom, which I never was in, except as a student, but to teach four-year-olds. And I share basic things you should all remember from preschool or kindergarten. Be nice to your friends. Help people out. Be courteous and kind. These are not rocket science. The Christian faith is not quantum mechanics. Everybody can get what Jesus was talking about. But it requires being open to new things. So I'm going to give the disciples a little bit of slack here. Because Jesus was talking about something that nobody had ever experienced before. But what about us? We've had 2,000 years to ponder the meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's great that you're all here this morning. But will Jesus' death and resurrection still shape your life when you leave this place? Or you set church aside for the next week and then pick it up again next Sunday morning? This isn't a part-time vocation. If we are Christians, we should be living Jesus' way all the time. Now, I have to confess, I'm not really good at that. I can be short-tempered. I can lose my patience. I could think all sorts of snarky things you'd never want to know about. But I know that God has not turned God's back on me. And that's the amazing thing. If you think about the story of the disciples, who were these guys? Really? Were Peter and James and John the pick of the litter? Were they the gold star kids in class? No. But God worked in them and through them. So if you feel like Thomas and you've got your doubts, it's okay to ask questions. And as we were reading the passage from James, let's see if I can find it here, because I thought about this last week and then I thought about it this morning. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. And I thought about this idea of people not asking questions. And I remember a piece of wisdom that was supposedly uttered by my grandfather, who had died many years before I was born. But my mother was happy to share it with me repeatedly. The only stupid question is the one you don't ask. Think about that. There are all sorts of answers available out there. And if you've got a phone, you can pull out your pocket and you can find all sorts of information. But not all of it is reliable. And yes, some of it may come from supposedly trustworthy sources, but to use a term from the academy, interrogate it. Ask what the motives are. Now, I'm not saying you should go out and find your own solutions to pandemics or medical care. But there are a lot of issues, a lot of questions that ultimately boil down to what is the meaning of life? And no, I'm not going to tell you it's 42. But think about what we hear on Sunday mornings. Think about the words of the hymns we sing. Think about the power of fellowship. Think about hopefully the good time you'll have in refreshment time after the service. Think about the joy you experienced last week when you watched kids bouncing around in the bouncy house. That's true joy. That is the kind of thing the church should aspire to make available to each and every member and to the wider world. So I would not spend a lot of time fighting for first place. I'm not saying you shouldn't try your best. And if you're in a competition where you have the possibility of winning it all, God bless you. But don't cheat. Don't throw elbows. Don't talk down your competition. Because Jesus would not do that. And that should be good enough for you and me. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the Gospels and for all of Scripture. We thank you for the challenging things it contains and the questions it provokes. Be with us as we try to puzzle out the answers, to share our insights and our wonderings with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.